Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World According to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth, conjunct the center of the galaxy here at Rocks and Things in Whitefish, Montana. And we have a really fascinating show for you today. I have a special guest today. I think it might just be his first of many conversations on Blog Talk Radio with me. His name is Mike Beal, and he is a former journalism student from the University of Montana, as am I, and he also was a reporter for the Great Falls Tribune. And I was a reporter here in Whitefish for the Whitefish pilot. And one of the things that we have in common is how we both got into journalism because of we believed in the ideal of journalism and how our experience with what at the time I didn't understand was corporate journalism, how that has created I don't know if apathy is the right word, but I'm no longer a journalist, or I kind of am now that I have Blog Talk Radio, but Michael is currently not writing or putting his truth out there, and so we're going to kind of talk about that. So when I was preparing for this show, I kept thinking about the role of journalism in democracy and how important a free and independent press is. They call it the fourth estate. And since I graduated, which was like in 1986, I have seen a decline. And maybe it was always there, but I was deluded in thinking it wasn't. But what I've seen is there is more and more and more gobbling up of small independent papers by corporate journalists. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is why we got into journalism, why we aren't in the current system right now, and what we foresee for the future of journalism. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and what happened to you with journalism?
Well, Velvet, I feel like I had a very similar experience to with journalism as you did, where my first job. Super excited. School felt like it was my first step into a bigger world of having my voice been spread out to a bigger public, where I could finally do my part and bring my enthusiasm, bring my youth to this industry that seemed to me that was aging, and just to give a little kick in the butt per se to make a change, to get more energy, more excitement. This is simple things that I felt like out of school because I had all this idealism bursting out of me that I wanted to change the world, which I think a lot of kids out of school have that belief, have that drive to do. Not long into my experience, I had to go into this room that I like to call the room that only bad thing happened, and the first floor of the Great Falls Tribune. As I got there, right at one of the quarterly meetings, Gannett, the corporation that owned the Great Falls Tribune, was in another series of layoffs. I think it was my first experience of many of watching my newsroom and the corporation begin to shrink. And I could see, and I could kind of just see the writing on the wall early, that no matter how much I wanted to move up in this field, no matter how far I wanted to go, this ladder of climbing up this industry, this job, think of it as a ladder, and something besides the oil of the rungs, making it harder for me to climb. And so I just kind of ignored that thought, just kept going with it. Thinking that, just thought it's going to be okay, I'm going to make it. But the longer and longer I did things, the more I realized that all the young people that were in the newsroom, there's only a few of us. We're already being disillusioned. We're already looking at the people, the dinosaurs, I called them, making more money than we were. They had to do less work than we did, and we became fed up. And now I believe that the four or five young people in that newsroom are all gone from that newsroom, replaced by more young people. And I had a really good conversation with a buddy of mine one of my last days at the Tribune, talking about how it doesn't matter how big of a stance we take against our newspaper. And we could tell them how much we're fed up. We could tell them we want more pay. Or it doesn't really matter, because if we say something to them, ask for more pay, they'll say no, and we'll be replaced by young people who have the same ideals as we do, and maybe they also will be squashed as well. And so that is where my apathy sunk in, to a point where I didn't really know what to do anymore. And so I thought that I would just quit and kind of do my own thing and go with it. And this led me to Whitefish, and still to this day, almost 2 years later, I still have not done any journalism, sadly.
Thanks, Michael. That is, I don't think it is a unique story. I mean, it's unique and because it's Mike's experience, but I think, I don't know how other journalism schools are around the country, but I do know how I was taught at the University of Montana. That was a long time ago, but we were taught about journalism ethics. We were also taught of, we were taught about the history of Montana journalism and how important a free, independent press was to a healthy, functioning democracy, and how Montana had a history of the press being owned by the robber barons, the oil, or the copper miners, the copper kings. And so I was very conscious of corporate influence on, but I didn't think of it as corporate at the time, but like money owning the news. And I was taught, I came out fired up. I wanted to be a muckraker. I wanted to expose corruption in the highest echelons of government. And I come and work at the Whitefish Pilot. You know, I get my internship at the Whitefish Pilot. And the first week, my editor sets me down and he says, I know why you're here. I know you want to be a muckraker. I know you want to expose corruption. But he said, you're not going to do it in my paper. Those people that you would want to expose buy advertising for my paper. And I'm not going to allow it. And it's sort of like I felt like I got kicked in the gut, because, first of all, he's admitting that there is corruption. He basically admitted that there was corruption. And then, in the small town of Whitefish. And then he went on to go against something that I was taught in journalism school, that the editorial side was completely separate from the advertising, the business side. And maybe it's unrealistic that they taught us that in school, but I am an idealist, and I believe that journalism shouldn't be about the money. And in fact, when I was preparing for this class, one of the things I remembered, I listened to a thing on NPR quite a few years ago. I think it was, it's some program they have once a week, and they have journalists talk. I can't remember. But anyway, there was a guy who was talking about the history of journalism, and he talked about the role of the post office. And he said the post office was established in the beginning to ensure that people had access to the press. And so it is almost in our DNA, well, it's in our Constitution, the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press. And it was really disturbing to me to think that here we in our community, it's about the money. And I think that that's one of the things I've seen and kind of wakened to over the last, 25 years, is that everything has become about the money. You know, from our government, I mean, if it's not making money, the Republicans want to slash it, right? Because it's not making any money. But the role of government, in my opinion, isn't to make money. So Mike and I are here to talk a little bit about, okay, I got disillusioned. I decided, you know what, I don't want to be a journalist if I have to play by those rules. I've always been a bit of a rebel. And I think sometimes my rebelling, I'm just not going to play, right? I'm not going to play the game. And so I went and I was a waitress. And I loved it because I had my thumb on the pulse of what was happening in this community, and I knew stuff that was happening that you can't get in the paper. Okay. And then I think it's been a, I knew I had those tools in my tool belt and that I would eventually use them. And I think as we move into this time of awakening, I see that that journalism and journalism that is not attached to the current structure or hierarchy plays a huge role in awakening and freedom of individuals. And so I'm going to pass this over to Michael for a moment and see what he has to add about what the future of journalism is about, as you foresee it.
First, I want to take us back to the room that one of the bad things happened. But the last time I did this, I was already, I just told my boss I'm giving my notice, I'm leaving the paper, finishing one of my stories. I went down there into this room a little bit late because I didn't want to go. I told him I wasn't going to go because I already saw on the website or on the internet that Gannett laid off 100 reporters company-wide. I was like, I don't want to hear this bad news. I don't need to hear it. So I went down there and we're talking about money and the spreadsheets and the pluses and the minuses, the reds and the blacks. And I stood up at the very, very end and I asked, like, why don't we do something different? And rather than keep cutting advertisers, keep cutting journalists, that we invest in it and try to make a bigger paper. So we might start making money that way. So it might cost a little bit in the short term, but we might kind of see money in the future. All I heard is crickets at the end of that. And I walked out, and 2 weeks later, I was done at the paper. And in that same period, I was deciding on how I wanted to bring journalism to my on my own terms, what I was going to do. And I, too, listened to a program on National Public Radio. So it was on the media, and they're talking about the future of journalism, which we're talking about today. And it began with this image of a supernova. And she was talking about how, like, corporate journalism and the journalism that we've had almost the last 100 years, where newspapers had complete control over everything. Advertisers had to go through newspapers, classified drove revenue. All this stuff, the newspaper had complete control over everything. There's no TV at the time. Radio was very small at the time. They basically had the pulse. And to this day, when now the internet is breaking things down more so than the TV, it kind of started the whole avalanche. And to now, we're having the supernova, where people are breaking off of it. People are starting their own like programs, their own businesses, their own platforms, to a point where the old like star that we had is now infinite, continuing to just build and build and build. And now we're seeing this kind of this coagulation of sorts of the old star. So basically, the platform that we once had is now tons of mini platforms that fail to connect in this web that we need to connect. I think that's where we need to go to, is how do we get these people who have all these ideals still, who still want to go out there and tell the truth and bring these stories that we need to hear, how do we bring them to the general public when we don't have that platform that far reaches, like people watch their TV, people read their papers. But are they going to go to that blog of that person who was led to a Pulitzer Prize winner who left that paper, but he's now doing his own blog? How do we get people to read him? How do we get people to listen to us as we move forward? And I think that's the trick, because as the as we're seeing people branch off this star per se, we also have the problem where there's so many different voices out there that we don't have to go to the newspaper anymore. We don't have to go to the television anymore to get the news. And so we can just listen to people who have the same opinions as us. And they could hear, like, oh, this racist thing, I knew that was real. I'm going to listen to him, so I knew I was right. Or on the other side of the spectrum, we're sitting there and we're like, oh, no, that is right. This alternative radio, that is right. And so why do we need to challenge our way of thinking when we have somebody else being our mouthpiece for us? I think that might be a problem as well. So we need to be able to get all these ideas into a platform, something that actually challenges the way of thinking rather than just reaffirming what we already believe.
Well, and this is where I'm going woo-woo on you guys, because kind of what I think Mike is talking about, there's a couple of things that I was listening to what he was saying, but as he spoke, he spurred these these insights. And he is of the generation, first of all, they have Pluto in Scorpio. And in astrology, this Pluto and Scorpio generation is here to change the world or burn it down. Okay, and I've talked to a bunch in that generation, and some of them are idealists and they want to save it, right? And then there's the others that just say, just blank, 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 burn it down, because they can't see anything worth saving in these current systems. So the other thing about his subsection of his generation, and I haven't done enough astrological research to know how many years this includes, but it's like a lot of the kids, not kids, these young adults, maturing adults that are between the ages probably of 22 to 24, 25, they all have a bunch of transgenerational planets in Capricorn. And so Capricorn in the zodiac, it's the fish goat. What Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is about structure. And currently Pluto is in Capricorn, and so what we're seeing is Pluto in Capricorn there's two opportunities for Pluto in Capricorn, that the plutocracy, the corporate structures, become even stronger, or we see how broken those corporate structures are, those patriarchal structures are, and this generation that has all of this Capricorn energy, Neptune in Capricorn, some of them have Saturn in Capricorn, some of them have Uranus in Capricorn, they are here to, Neptune is about dreaming a new world, Saturn is about physically clearing the karma and creating new structures, and Uranus is about evolution and revolution, okay? So that's their generation. And I think they have really big work, and depending on what they're passionate about, they will go to whatever structure, whatever patriarchal structure is malfunctioning right now, and they'll do their job. Michael's is about truth and about the press, as I understand it. My generation, with Pluto and Uranus in Virgo, I'm here to help create new systems, but it's more almost healing systems. And as I see the journalism has done, is it's entrained everybody in a delusion. Okay, everybody's asleep. And part of what keeps us asleep is believing what we're told on the television, believing what we read in the paper. When I was young, if I saw it in print, it must be true, right? That's how I was sort of raised. If it was in the paper, it had to be true. And when we awaken to the fact that what we're being told is a bunch of hogwash, that's a nice way to put it, it makes us angry, right? And when anger is stirred, we have a couple of choices. We become apathetic. We push it down. We, like, you know, in some instances, anger, we repress our anger by drinking or drugs or partying or whatever our addiction is. We become apathetic, and or we use that powerful energy of anger, of creative energy, to push us to the next loop of evolution. And so I really think that that journalism and what Michael is talking about, this new structure, this new platform that will tie all these rebels together, you might say, who are rebelling against the old system, there is a system that will help support all of these voices being heard, is to help awaken us and free us, because there are laws in the universe that we cannot have our wills bound by anybody. And I think corporate journalism is currently part of a system that binds our will and keeps us from being sovereign. And I think the tricky part is when you awaken, you're not quite sure what your truth is sometimes. And you hear something and it resonates with you, right? And it's really easy to go along with things that resonate with you. But what happens when somebody says something and it stirs you up, it's really preparing you to evolve even more. but it's so uncomfortable that a lot of times we run back to our old news source because it's comfortable. However, I mean, right now I'm in a state that I don't believe anything I hear or see in the traditional media. Neptune is in Pisces right now, and it's all about illusion and delusion. And so right now, it's so hard to know what is true. It is so hard. And so right now, I'm not believing anything. I mean, I know this is a bit extreme. There's all these people that are going on about these false flags. Have you heard anything about that, Michael? So there's this stuff in the news. Every time there's something really important going on in Congress or something, there's a distraction. The news distracts us on, not that marriage equality isn't important, but while we were all focused on what the Supreme Court was doing, because that's where the media took us, the Congress was busy passing the TPP, the trade pact, that totally opened up Asian markets. Now, yeah, that so basically people are going to be more enslaved. So I don't trust anybody right now that I'm reading outside. And so I do have a tendency, but even that I have to be careful, because I think one of my first alternative journalists that I heard was Alex Jones. Have you heard of him? He was a totally, like, he called a lot of truths out, but then I realized he's as much of a fearmonger as the others. He's just so anti everything, and that I think a lot of these, I don't want to call them journalists because I don't think they're journalists. I think they're spinners or whatever they call them. Propagandists, thank you. A big hook right now with the media is, can we keep our people in fear? And if we can keep people in fear, we can control them. And so what is the opposite of fear? Love, and in Chinese medicine, it's wisdom. Okay, so if we're not in fear, we can't be controlled. I think we have to learn what the truth is. And I think this is another thing that's happening, is there are so many truths, and there's individual truths, and then there's big truths. I think we're about to run out of time, so we have 9 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to hand this over to Mike. I've talked a lot. So, Mike, is there something you want to carry on?
I want to go back to your whole idea of not believing anything in the news, and how the propagandists, that we just called them, are talking about one big thing in the news, one huge thing that's happening, and while at the same time something else is happening boiling underneath that we don't listen to. And I think that is their trick right now, that news uses to not control us, but just kind of like give us half-truths. Because I'm not going to go as far as you just said, where I don't believe everything the news is telling me. So I believe that a lot of stuff the news is saying is happening right now, but it's one person or one company's opinion of the news. No matter how unbiased we want to believe journalists are, there's complete crap, because you get to choose what quote you use, you choose where you want to put that quote, and you can kind of tie it up into a nice little gift that the way you want to put it together. And so we'll take, like, the Greek debt crisis that's going on right now, and how, like, Greece, if they're going to totally self-destruct if they get into their old currency, the drachma, and get rid of the euro. But they're going to be in just as much trouble if they go back to the euro and take this bailout package. It's like the whole time is this debate of which part of disaster does Greece want to have, when really it's just, like, this idea of just money. And, like, what is that? What is it? Like, why can we have this huge player in the European economy is going through this thing, and they're just kind of, like, debating back and forth about two separate evils. And so what really is happening? I have no idea what's really happening. But every single day you listen to the news or read the news, and it's just another spin on the same story about the drachma versus the euro, and how the euro debt crisis, and how the dollar fits into all this. And it's just, like, spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning until we're dizzy and we don't know what to think anymore. So we just stop listening to the news and be like, oh, I know what's going on with the European debt crisis. If it really, you know, nothing more than the headline tells you that Greece is in trouble. thing that is said with many, many stories is that they give you, they talk so much that at the end of the day, only the headline gives you as much news as you possibly have, they don't need. And it's just this want that Velvet and I are probably talking about is the real truth that we're trying to get to and that our whole world is craving. And I don't know. There's really no word of how this should come together or how we're supposed to do this when we have all this trust. We feel like they're there to help us. They're there to be the fourth estate that we talked about at the very beginning. But if we can't trust the news anymore, we can't trust those journalists, who can we trust? And that's where this apathy comes from. No?
And because you have Pluto in Scorpio, and you have all these other gifts that you carry, so there are a number of people who get into journalism because they're idealists, just like there's a number of people who get into government because they're idealists. There's a number of people who get into medicine because they're idealists. And they get into medicine, they get into the government, they get into journalism, and they are compromised. Their integrity is compromised, and usually for money or security, which is the same thing, right? And so we were talking earlier, well, how do you create this system that Mike kind of foresees, I don't know if he sees the whole thing yet, but he sort of sees this web that needs to connect all of these truth tellers together, like the newspaper industry used to, right? And so we talked about how, we need money. Right? You need money to make that work. Here we go back to money. But I'm going to take it to a spiritual level because that's what I like to do. So if my destiny and Mike's destiny is somehow to put the truth out there, okay? And it is from our perspective. That's why I call this show The World According to Velvet, because it comes through my filters. Is it the truth of the capital T sometimes? Sometimes it's just The World According to Velvet, right? So anyway, back to this whole idea. If we're here to put the truth out there, and it's our destiny, when our wills are free, when we're not bound by any corporations, when we're not bound by any structures that tell us, well, you have to be quiet, you know, and they'll string you up, like in Russia, they'll send you out to the gulag, right, in eastern Russia. We have to be able to have enough courage to put our truth out there, and to trust that all that money stuff is going to be taken care of, because that is where journalism is headed. And I think it takes courage. First of all, we do theoretically live in a free democracy, but you hear these stories about journalists disappearing or doctors being killed or whatever. And you know what? I remember when I was in journalism school, I remember saying, I want to believe in something so much that I'm willing to go to jail for it, that I'm willing to die for it. And you know what? I'm putting this out there, and should my demise happen, I will be okay because I'm walking in truth. When I speak the truth, act the truth, and think from the truth in my heart, I know this is I have a short time on this planet and I have to do what I'm here to do. And should it lead to my demise, I'm going out with a bang. I'm going out like a supernova. Michael, are you going to be a supernova?
I'll be a supernova.
Okay, anything else you want to say?
I think you can finish it off.
Okay, well, you know, I have a feeling Mike and I are starting something new. I don't want to put any expectations on it or tell you when we're going to do this again, but I feel like we have some work to do together, and maybe we'll draw in other truth tellers, other people who are here to save the world or burn it down. I don't care what you guys do. I'm just here to support your generation in creating new structures and to be a truth teller and understand that I can't do it without your help. And you can't do what you're here to do without the support of people like me. And I'm saying that to Mike here, but I'm also saying it to everyone in his generation. I'm also saying it to the younger generation, because the generation that comes after him is Pluto and Sagittarius, okay? And Sagittarius is the truth teller. Okay, and so whatever Michael's generation is here to do, they are making way for the truth to be told. And that's it. Reporting live from planet Earth, this is Velvet. Over and out.